Good morning, everyone. Our first reading is from John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26, and you will find this on page 1084. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. And you'll find that on page 1151. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of that body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, if you're visiting us today, a very special welcome to the body of Christ here at Abbotsford Anglican, and a special welcome to Michael and Taria back from overseas. It's lovely to have you back with us again. It's good to see you as well. Please stay for morning tea after church and continue the fellowship together. This morning, we continue our Bible teaching through what we believe, and we're looking at particularly the Apostles' Creed and the summary of that together. Diane has already prayed for us for the hearing of God's word, so I'll just add to it as well too. Not that God doesn't hear Diane's, but we'll just pray as well. Loving God, it is so good to actually meet together as the body of Christ here in Abbotsford. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who indwells us and is continually helping us to be the kind of people that you want us to be. Loving God, help me to teach your word correctly. May we experience your spirit guiding us into truth. May we be glad of your work to make us the body of your Son Jesus, the Holy Catholic Church. And Father God, may we be glad that we believe in it, that it's a part of what you do and work within us, that we're glad that we can be part of it. In Jesus' name and for your glory, amen. Amen. Well, as I've said, this morning we continue our sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, and today we focus on the affirmation, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. And immediately, anyone who's new to joining us at church and not familiar with what we believe thinks at this moment that we're talking about our friends, the Roman Catholic Church up the road. And I met... I'm in the army. I have a driver, all right? that way, that's right. That's it. And I met Father Matthew on Thursday and Father Nicholas, and we had a lovely morning tea together and fellowship and prayer together. So that's the first thing that usually people sort of think about when we hear the word Holy Catholic Church, that we're thinking about our friends up the road. And we're not. And yet... amongst their members, there would be those who actually are. The word Catholic simply means universal. All Christians everywhere. Universal, all Christians everywhere. Past, present, and future. Christians, irrespective of what denomination we may belong to. It was originally added to the original creed, the Roman Creed, in the 4th century AD. It was added to protect orthodoxy, Bible-based apostolic beliefs. It was added also to promote unity in the gospel and also to counter the teachings of Donatus, I think that's how you say his name. He was the Bishop of Carthage in North Africa at that time. Donatus believed sincerely at this point. We don't know if he changed his mind later on, but he proclaimed that only the churches under his authority were the true church. He believed a person's salvation was determined not only by response to the gospel, but belonging to his fold. A similar example today would be a denomination saying, you can't be right with God and a real Christian unless you join our church. That would be a similar sort of proclamation that we would hear today, that gives us a bit of an idea of what Donatus believed. So to protect orthodoxy and to promote unity in the gospel, as the apostles had passed down, the word Catholic was added, universal. It was all understood at that time, meaning all Christians everywhere, past, present, and future, irrespective of what denomination they may belong to, was added. So when we say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, we're saying that's what we believe. We're saying we believe the church is made up of all Christians everywhere, past, present, and future. In 1 Corinthians 12, we heard read, God has put together the body, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it. Why? So that there should be no divisions in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. But why holy? Why call it holy? Two reasons. Firstly, because God has made us holy. You may not feel very holy, but from God's perspective, we are. Really, only God can be called holy, unless we have been made holy, set apart, belonging to God, for the purposes of God. We can't say that we're holy. But that is what has become of us, and the church is, through the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why? So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And it's what Jesus prayed in the prayer that we heard read. I pray also for those who will believe in me, who will believe in me through their message, Jesus prayed, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We are a holy people. The church, God's family, is a holy people because God has made us holy. And that's a really helpful thing to be able to remind ourselves when we especially don't feel holy, or when a sister or a brother, younger or older, is not feeling holy or belonging to God or part of his special possession. We need to remind ourselves to look at ourselves not as we might see ourselves or that others might see us, but the way God chooses to actually see us, because of the forgiveness of sins, because of Jesus. It also ought to shape the way in which we relate to one another and behave towards one another in the body of Christ as well. We are a holy people, firstly, because God has made us holy. And secondly, because we have been made holy by the Holy Spirit. That's why this statement, Holy Catholic Church, comes after we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. For although God the Father and God the Son love the church, and the Son has saved it, it's God the Holy Spirit who actually creates it and makes it holy. 1 Corinthians 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink, to enjoy. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The Holy Spirit, he is the one behind the scenes who brought about faith in Christ in us. He is the one who behind the scenes has moved in us to want to know God, to be right with him, to be holy. He is the one who behind the scenes brought us to our knees to acknowledge that we needed our sins forgiven, that they could be forgiven, and to confess those sins and accept the work of Christ on the cross to make us right with God, holy. He is the one who behind the scenes brought us to that repentance and faith and into God's family. Together, we are his holy people. Let's see how Anglican we are. We are the body of Christ. Well done. Let's say it again. We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. And he is the one who behind the scenes is continuing to dwell and work in us, sanctifying us. In other words, making us more and more like Jesus, individually and corporately in the community that he's placed us. Why? To be holy, yes, but to the glory of God the Father and to Jesus Christ his Son. 1 Corinthians 12, 2, verses 9 to 13. What no eye has seen. Let's say this together. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spirit truth words. I hope you may have had the opportunity to be reminded of this and experience the reality of this in partaking of last Sunday's Bible study from the last Sunday's sermon. You don't need to tell me if you have, but that was the tent of it from last week, that we might see that it's not about just knowing about who the Holy Spirit is. We can know a lot about him. The devil knows a lot about him. But it's actually seeing how he works behind the scenes, powerfully, as God, to bring the word to our enlightenment and to understand that. Allow yourself, when you're doing a Bible study, to actually do that, to let yourself see, yes, okay, we're learning the facts here, like a comprehension. But behind the scenes, secret to us, there is the other person of the Trinity hiding like the light in the bushes, shining up the cross, enabling you to know that. And it's good to stop and actually pause, respect him, and say thank you and praise him equally with the Father and the Son. He will move in your heart like he's now. You know, he will move in your heart and remind you of the truth of him. But what does it mean when we say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church? Are we actually saying we believe in the church as we would God, with all the same authority as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? No. That's not what we're saying. If that was the case, it would have been given its own sentence as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit does. No, we're saying we believe God, with the authority of his word, the Bible, and the help of the Holy Spirit, by and through his holy Catholic Church, us, guides, teaches, serves, cares, heals, corrects, rebukes, and encourages it. And to the world, reaches out to care and to advise and to evangelize. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we say we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, we are saying we believe this to be true, that we are willing to engage with God in it. That's why I got us to stand at the beginning of this little teaching time together, that we might look around and realise that we are God's Holy Catholic Church here at Abbotsford. We are his family. And we come here and we meet here. We come here on time or when late, or when we come, we get involved. We share in what we do. We do here because we believe that we work, that God works through us, right? Yeah, we'll have friends out there and we'll have family out there and we'll have people that we might be very close to, more so than family in here, and they have some part to play in our life. But we believe the church is something different. God actually works in us with the weakness and the strong, with all of our members in it. There's something about us, all right? I'm glad of the saying, you can pick your friends, you're stuck with your relatives, all right? It's really good. It is. Allow ourselves to look around and experience and appreciate that of each other, okay? And it's one of the great joys that Rosemary and I have really appreciated this year, just having a time to get to know you and you get to know us, to just float this year along and to think, to get to appreciate you and to say, and so thank you. Thank you for inviting us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us here. All right, great job. So when we say we believe in, we're saying we believe that God works through us, and we want to have a part of this, and we will take responsibility to maintain that and keep that going with God's help. So far in the Apostles' Creed, we've stated and affirmed the creating work of God. The creating work of God, the one and only, the Father, the Almighty. We've stated and affirmed the rescuing work of God, the Son, Jesus Christ, in his person and work. And we've also affirmed now the recreating and sanctifying and sustaining work of God, the Holy Spirit, who is no less God than the Father and the Son, who dwells within us, those God has created and rescued, the Holy Catholic Church. He is making us new in and through the work of Christ, sanctifying us, making us more and more like Jesus. So the Creed goes on to affirm our belief in this, God's ongoing work in us and for us in what follows in the Creed. The forgiveness of sins is the next thing we say. Again, it's a work of the Holy Spirit, not only in bringing the church into being, but maintaining that unity in the Spirit. We say that we believe in the power of God to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace by forgiving one another as God has forgiven us. And we conclude the Creed and his ultimate climax and fulfillment in the statement, and the resurrection of the body and the life that's everlasting. But that's next week, all right? Wouldn't it be good if it is next week? It could be next week. Wouldn't it be good? We could have a practical experience of the whole thing. It wouldn't have to have a sermon prep. Isn't God good? Let me pray. Firstly, we are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we, your people, the Holy Catholic Church, is the one worldwide fellowship of believing people, past, present, and future, whose head is your Son, Jesus Christ. You have called us to believe in you and serve you and all people in humility and perhaps humiliation while living in prospect of glory. Spirit filled for worship and witness, Holy Spirit, continue to move in us to believe in your church, to be active in love and care for both believers and unbelievers alike. Self-effacing, self-supporting, and self-propagating, willing to be your people and prepared to speak the truth in love to those who seek a reason for the hope we profess. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.